Most of us, load shedding, of course, is just a massive inconvenience. We might be able to protect ourselves a bit by working around the load shedding schedules and making do. Maybe you've got a little generator, or maybe you've got a little UPS, uninterrupted power supply, which you just get charged up between stage six load shedding bouts. But for the economy, it's devastating. Absolutely crippling. And today's mining and manufacturing data shows just how crippling it is. And Ralph Mopita, the chief executive of MTN, of course, also alerting us to the fact this evening that they've seen a huge negative impact in terms of the downtime on their network. And it's dramatically affected their performance because, yes, each one of its base stations has got battery backup. But if the batteries can't recharge enough during the time when there is electricity, well, the next time it goes off, of course, the network goes down. Mining output fell by a huge 8% in June. It fell 7.2% in May. And so the second quarter was pretty catastrophic from a mining perspective. Senior economist at FNB is Thanda Sithole. And Thanda, I mean, just, you know, for you and me, it's irritating to arrive home in the dark. But for the economy, the power cuts are devastating, and it's wrought absolute havoc in terms of the exploitation of resources and growth opportunities and job creation in the second quarter.
Hi, Bruce. Good evening to you and to your listeners. I didn't get the introduction, but the numbers were really negative for us. I think we've been always of the view that quarter two growth outcomes will be very poor this year as a result of KZN flooding as well as load shedding intensity. So these numbers are actually confirming that view. Mining output was down by 8% year on year, while manufacturing output was down by about 3.5% year on year. These numbers are negative, and if you look at the quarter on quarter growth of both mining and manufacturing output, they really indicate that GDP growth in the second quarter contracted by more than what is currently expected.
And so when we look at it, I mean, the real cost of load shedding is more than just an inconvenience. It is a catastrophic reality, you know, where we're shooting ourselves in the foot consistently by not resolving the electricity problem.
Definitely. So these numbers do reflect the negative impact of load shedding, and our expectation is that on average it should shave around 0.4% from annual GDP growth, but the cumulative impact is much higher than that. It could be as much as 1.5% percentage points. So yes, power supply disruptions has been a constraint. But we do think that with the recent market energy market reforms that things over time, particularly in the medium term, should improve.
I mean, what, who was it? John Maynard Keynes. I think he said in the long term, we're all dead. So we unfortunately have been sitting on this problem for the last 15 blimmin' years, Thanda. And that's a great frustration. Finally, we're getting energy market reform. But my goodness gracious me, there's more blood to be got out of a stone than out of economic policy reform in South Africa. And that's been, it's come at a huge cost. And, you know, try telling that to people who are starving this winter. Try telling it to people who are cold this winter. That's certainly so you're not job. But you know what? Things are going to get better 2 years from now. No wonder people are cross.
Definitely. It's been delayed for a very long time. We do hope that this time around there's going to be some implementation of these reforms. But, yeah, you are right. Actually, load shedding has been the biggest risk to South Africa's economic growth.
And it's not just, you know, and again, somebody listening to us might go, well, it's mining company profits. They're big fat cats. They've been making super profits for a long period of time. Why should we care about them? It's the loss in tax revenue. It's the loss in expansion opportunity. It's the loss in job creation, really. That is the long-term consequence of unreliable energy supply.
Yeah, so if you look at the structural health of the economy, if you look at potential growth output, they really reflect the fact that the economy has actually been constrained by not only load shedding, actually by other factors, including the inefficiencies at ports as well as rail. So that is reflected in the deterioration in the structural health of the economy. But also, you are right that it has also constrained fiscal numbers. If you look at fiscal debt at government debt as a ratio of GDP, you can see that it's significantly higher. Obviously, it was weakened by the pandemic, but even before that, we were actually on an upward trajectory in terms of fiscal debt numbers, and that actually resulted in South Africa being consistently downgraded in terms of ratings. So it's actually been a structural issue, and I think we can see it in many of the numbers. If you look at unemployment numbers, they are at historically high levels. Employment has not reverted to pre-pandemic levels. As we speak, we are sitting at around 1.4, 1.5 million below pre-pandemic levels in terms of employment creation. And our view is that over the medium term, we will likely not return to pre-pandemic levels unless we see economic growth of around 3% and above.
Well, we're not going to get to that. We're not going to get to 2. Some optimists are talking about a potential of a recovery of about 1.8%. But the second quarter was devastating, and not only in mining, but manufacturing as well. Everything from food and beverages to petroleum, chemical products, but motor vehicles, which are such an important foreign exchange earner for us, they saw an 11% decline. And again, it's just this, not fixing Telkom, not Telkom, it could have done absolutely no good for electricity. Not fixing Eskom has been tantamount to self-sabotage, hasn't it? I mean, across every single industry. And I look at these figures, and these, I think, are probably the worst I have seen from a quarterly perspective related directly to electricity shortages. And this is the rubber hitting the road. This is the consequence of mismanagement.
Yeah, definitely. You are right, Bruce. So these numbers, the negative numbers, are actually broad-based across all the manufacturing sectors, particularly the major manufacturing divisions. If you look at the 5 major divisions, 4 out of 5 recorded declines in the second quarter. So, yeah, it's basically a reflection of that. In terms of annual GDP growth, we're sitting with growth of around 1.8%. which is below consensus, and we think that the risk is actually a downside. It's possible that GDP growth outcomes in the second quarter are actually worse than what we and the market currently expect.
Thanda Sithole, thank you, senior economist at FNB. The good news is it gets better from here, and that is because of the long-awaited reforms, which still need to be implemented, by the way. You don't just get electricity when somebody says, okay, fine, we're going to reform and we're going to make it possible. The work still has to be done. The regulatory environment still has to be created. You're still going to have rage and frustration and delays and irritation related to electricity provision. Just because we've got the rules in place, or at least the announcement of the fact that there will be rules, it doesn't change the fact that we are pretty awful at delivering on our desired outcomes when it comes to the economy. And these numbers, absolutely every aspect of the South African economy contracting in the second quarter of this year. It's shambolic. One looks at the rise in protests, one looks at the fury on the streets, and you've got to have a huge amount of empathy for people who just don't feel like they have an option or don't have a choice. We can be as cross as we like, and we can throw as much firepower at the problem as we like, but people are cross, people are upset, people feel betrayed by the fact that the system isn't working. And not everybody understands why it's not working. They just know the kids don't have enough food. They know that they don't have money to make ends meet. And that's upsetting for everyone.